Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee.
Go back now with me to 1 Samuel. Go to 1 Samuel. Chapter 22, 1 Samuel chapter 22, the psalm which Brother Ron read, David wrote it while he was in this cave. And we'll go back to that also. You know, a message from God's Word, a message from the Lord, is always, always from His Word. Thus saith the Lord. If not, then it's not a message from the Lord. And I heard another man preaching, and he just said something in that message, a word from the Lord of Scripture. And it blessed me so, and it made me think of this passage that we're going to look at this morning. And it was such a blessing. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. This is the story of David. David is in exile. David is afraid and running from his enemies. And he runs to this cave called Adullam or Adullam, depending on how you want to say it. But he runs to this cave. Now, David is God's man. David is a man after God's own heart. David is the man that God raised up to. He's a prophet. David is a preacher. David is a king. David is a ruler of his people. And while he was in this cave, 400 men came to him. And he became their captain. Let's read it. David departed. Therefore departed thence from Gath, Philistines, and he escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren, all his father's house, heard, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. Now this, like the story of Abraham last Sunday, is a story of a man, and a true story. And we miss a blessing if we don't see the man here and what God did for him and through him and to him, and if we miss a blessing if this story is not applied to us as well. But David, and we'll devote the greater part of this message, David represents the son of David. This story is about, like every other story, is a story of Christ, the son of David. Now David, as I said, is a man. He's a prophet. He's a preacher. He's a captain. He's a ruler, but he's a sinner. He's a sinner. All men are sinners, aren't they? Sons of Adam. He's a sinful man, but God loves him. We ought to love him too, shouldn't we? God chose him. God called him. God sent him. God led him. If he's of God, God leads him. God kept him by his power. Kept him. Even when he fell, God picked him up again. This is God's man. He's a sinner, saved by God's grace. Saved by God's sovereign electing grace. You remember when God chose him? He said, I've chosen one from among the people. God said that. Psalm 89. God chose him by sovereign electing mercy and grace. He feared the Lord. David feared the Lord. Yes, he did. David loved the Lord. Yes, he did. How do you know? He called on the Lord. He talked about the Lord. He walked with the Lord. He talked to the Lord. He communed with the Lord. He lived with the Lord. He knew the Lord. No doubt about it. He's a man with God's heart. He loves God. He loves His Word. He said, I love it more than gold. I love it more than honey. I love it more than life itself. That's what he said. David, a man. What about you? This is what God puts in the heart of every one of His people. People after His own heart. He sheds abroad this love in their heart. And He gives you a man. He gives all His people a man. Like David. To lead. Sinner? Yeah. No one knew of his sinfulness more than David. No one knew of his weakness more than David. David knew more about his own weakness than anybody did. But God sent him in. Yeah, he did. He's an enigma. He's an enigma. All of God's people are. All of God's people are an enigma. They're sinful, yet they're holy. They're godly. They can often act worldly, but no, they're godly. God says so. They're fearful. David is afraid right now, but most of the time he's bold as a lion in him. Remember when he started as a young man? He said, if nobody stands, I will. Is there not a cause? Remember that? And then he's running. Fearful yet courageous, weak. Weak, but strong in the Lord, the power of His might. Oh, my. He's escaped, it says, to the cave of Adullam. David himself is afraid. He's running scared. And he's running from his enemy. And he escaped. Who made him to escape? Psalm 57. Go there now. Go back there. Psalm 57. He escaped. He was in the midst of his enemies who knew who he was. He was found out because you cannot be one of God's and the world not know it. You know that? It's just so. Even Lot, with all of his mockery, even though his sons-in-law said, you seem as one mocked, the people of Sodom said, you're not one of us. Didn't they? And his enemies knew that David wasn't one of them, and they started, and David was afraid, so he went running. He escaped. Who caused him to escape? The Lord did. And here in Psalm 57, David wrote this, and he's running from his enemy. Saul is his arch enemy. And we have an arch enemy, people. We really do. Satan is a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. And he's our arch enemy. Our enemies are many, and they come from him mostly. But Psalm 57, David says, when he came to this cave, he said, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me. You know, that's God's people. That's about all they can say most of the time, isn't it? And when you find yourself praying, what do you pray? Most of the time, we don't know what to pray or how to pray. And about all we can say from the depth of our heart is, oh, Lord, please be merciful to me. Why? Everything. My enemies without, my enemy within. Lord, please be merciful. Hold me up. Save me by thy mercy. My soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. Anybody listen to the message on the radio? Wasn't it a good one? If that's his last, it may be. What a good one. Oh, how the world needed to hear that. That there's a false refuge that most people have. A refuge of lie. There's only one true refuge. Where's that? Him. Oh, you're my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. When is that? When will these calamities be over? When will all these troubles? When will our enemies stop bothering us? Huh? The enemy without and the enemy within. Our arch enemy. When? When they lay this body in the ground. That's it. Not until then. And the older you get, and I hate to tell you young believers this, but the older you get, the worse it gets. About the time you think, "When I'm done with that." Oh, I will cry unto God, Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. What? Well, He shall. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Just stop now. Did you hear that? Selah. Stop now. Think about that. If you're like David, running scared and have an enemy that you cannot get rid of, he shall send from heaven. What? Who? Selah. God shall send what? His mercy and his truth. Didn't David write? You ever read? Have you not read? Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Do you know what that's talking about? Do you? If I were to ask you, could you tell me right now? Somebody tell me. One word. Christ. All met in Him. Mercy and truth. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my soul's among lions. Verse 6, they prepared a net for me. My soul is bowed down. They've digged a pit for me. Well, I heard another verse that says, delivering. I'm going down in the pit. I found a ransom, found a hiding place, found a refuge. Go back to our text now. David. So David wrote that. David is found in a cave. He's running. He's in a cave. He's in the cleft of a rock because of his adversary. He's in the cleft of the rock. Hadn't been written yet, but he's singing Rock of Ages. Yes, he is. What rock is that? How many people know what the Rock of Ages is, or rather who? Moses knew. Moses said this on our behalf. He said, "Lord, wherein is it that we shall know that we found grace in thy sight? How are we separated from thy people, from all the people that are on the face of the earth? Lord, show me thy glory," Moses said. "I've seen your glory in the firmament. The heavens declare your glory. The firmament showeth day unto day others speak. But Lord, show me your glory. Your essential glory, your ultimate glory, your greatest glory. Show me thyself." God said, "Okay." You get tired of hearing this. Oh, my. God said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord. And I will be gracious." On whom I will be gracious. "And I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." He said, "You can't see my face and live. No man shall see me and live." But the Lord said, "Behold, there's a place by me. And thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass when my glory passeth by. And I'll put thee in the cleft of the rock. And cover thee. You'll see my glory." Rock of Ages. Cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Jesus Christ is that Rock of Ages. Jesus Christ is the goodness of God. Jesus Christ is the grace of God. Jesus Christ is the mercy of God. Jesus Christ is the refuge that God sent for His people. Jesus Christ is the captain of God's people. That's where David was found. That's where I want to be found. Is that where you're found? Oh, Paul said, "May I be found in Him, in the cleft of the rock." David, go back to the text. You see, that rock is Christ and Him crucified. That rock was cleft, wasn't it? This cave was hollowed out, and David was put in it, and all his men, every one of God's men, and every one of David's brethren, all of them were in the same place, in the rock. That's where God puts all His people. His brethren went to David. Verse 1, it says, when his brethren and all his father's house heard, they went down thither to him. He's a man. David's just a man. He's a sinful man. At times a fearful man. Just like them, wasn't it? He was just like them. But God made him the man and set him up over them to lead them, to teach them, to guide them. And that was God's man. And all that the Father gave him came to him. And they followed him, knowing what he was. But they know who he was. They knew that God sent this man. And they recognized him. The Father recognized him and told them, this is God's man. You need to go where he is. And they did, all his brethren. And it says in verse 2, he became a captain over them. He became a captain. Do you think David wanted to be their captain? Do you now? Do you not think David is saying, I'm running myself. And you want to follow me? I'm scared myself. And I'm supposed to leave you. But he did. He did, didn't he? Did he lead them astray? No, sir. And he stayed faithful to them till the day he died. Some of them left him. Some of his closest allies and friends. His bosom buddy, Joab, turned on him. David said it hurt him worse than anything that his enemies had ever done. But David stayed faithful. He did it. God had given him a heart for God's glory, God's truth, for God's people, and given him a charge. What's the charge of a shepherd? Remember? One thing, basically. Feed my sheep. David, conscious of his own sinfulness, weakness, he took the oversight and he remained faithful. He did, and most of them did too. Thanks be unto the Lord. He said in Psalm 119, that whole psalm, he said, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me. They'll come running to me, and I them, and eat each other. But David was in that cave, and they were there with him. And you know, God added many to him after that. But now, let's talk about who this is really about. Okay? This is about the son of David. This is about whom David represents, a much greater man than David. This represents the God-man, Christ Jesus. If you've never heard this message, you sit up and listen now. All right? This represents the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom every single man in Scripture, every prominent man in Scripture, from Abel to Zerubbabel, represents the Lord Jesus Christ. For Christ is all and in all. Christ said, to me give all the prophets witness. Christ said, they are they which testify of me. Every prominent man and even women. Esther. You want to hear that sometime, Jennifer? She represents Christ, doesn't she? Abigail represents Christ. But every single prominent person, you see, he must have the preeminence. Because he's all. He's the second Adam. He's the prophet like Moses, only greater. He is the seed of Abraham. He's the son of David. He's a greater than Solomon. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. David represents the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, Savior, prophet, priest, king, captain. Captain. And here's where the similarities stop. He's never afraid. He's never running scared. He's got an enemy, all right, but he faced him head on. First thing, in his weakest state, 40 days and 40 nights without food. No fleshly strength, Brother John. And our captain, who must win the battle, faced Satan head on, toe to toe. All of his assault, every assault that you and I will be assaulted with, that roaring lion. And bless God, he won. He won the victory. This is our substitute. This is our covenant head. This is our captain. Captain, my captain. This ship, called in Christ Jesus, it won't go down. It won't. He's the captain. This army, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Why? Because Jesus Christ is Lord over and captain of our salvation. Nothing to be afraid of. He's our captain. Christ crucified. And it says in verse 1, all the Father's house heard of him, and they went down to him. All the Father's house heard of him, Jesus Christ. Christ said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. He said, they shall be all taught of God, and every man or woman or young person that hears of the Father cometh unto me, Christ said. And then what? He becomes their captain. Every man cometh to him. And all hear. Have they not all heard, Paul said? Yea, verily, the sound's gone to the end of the earth. But all haven't heard. They have ears to hear and don't hear. God's people all hear the gospel. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, he says you were sealed. After you trusted in him, after God caused you to hear the gospel of God's glory, of Christ's glory, of Christ your smitten rock, Christ in him crucified, you come to him by the power of God's Spirit. You come to him. You believe him. You rest in him. You come to him just as you are, and he becomes your salvation. And he never relinquishes that. He becomes your captain, your leader, your Lord, and your Savior. And he'll never relinquish that. He said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Wander, yes. Perish, no. It says they heard, and they came to him. David, what did they do? They went down. You see that? They went down to him. To come to Christ, you've got to come down. You've got to come down. Like Saul of Tarsus, he had to come down off his religious high horse, didn't he? He had to come down into the dust as a beggar in need of God's mercy and grace to save him lest he die and perish at the hands of an angry God. He had to come down, didn't he? So does everyone that comes to Christ. We don't come down front, you know, and all our pomp and pride and everybody else is proud. I heard the other day somebody was in religion, was baptized, and everybody in that place was wearing a T-shirt commemorating this. Is a young person, a real young person, congratulating him on being baptized. Congratulating him on being baptized. Can you imagine that? When we come to Christ, we come down. Down, down, down. Story of Naaman. I don't have time, but story of Naaman, who everybody thought was a great man. He was covered up with all his medals and all his uniform and all that. And he came, you know, on his high horse, you know, to the place where the prophet, little old prophet fellow, you know, he heard that maybe he can do something for him. And that prophet sent a servant. The prophet said, I'm not going to see this man. And he sent his servant out there. And the servant said one thing to that great, mighty man who was a leper. He was a leper. Nobody could see it. He was a leper. He's dying. And that little servant said to that great man, said, the prophet said, go down.
go down to that muddy, that red river, Jordan, and you dip seven times until you think you're going to drown. First thing you do is do a strip naked. Take all that stuff off and go down and get in that muddy water till you feel no better than a tadpole. Oh, great man. And he stormed off. And a little maiden, a faithful Jewish woman, said to him, "You better do what he says. There's no other way." He did. Stripped, got off that horse, stripped in front of everybody. Till everybody there said, "Look, he's a leper. He's not great after all. He's a leper." And old Naaman said, "Yes, I want to be clean." So he plunged into that red fountain, oh, bloody, muddy River Jordan, seven times. You know what he said? He came up clean. He says his flesh was fresher than a baby. Clean. You got to go down. And it says in verse 2, they all went down to him. And everyone, here's who went to him. Everyone, they all were in the same predicament. They all had the same problems. Everyone that was in distress. And everyone that was in debt. And everyone that was discontented. They gathered themselves unto him, unto David. And he became a captain over them. About 400 men. Every single one of them felt the same way. They were in distress. And every one of God's people, God brings them to a point of distress. Now, stress. You know what stress is, don't you? You know the leading cause of heart failure? Stress. Not your diet. Stress. I don't think it's coincidental at all that God said in the Revelation in the last days, men's hearts shall fail them for fear. There's something weighing down on everybody. There's something pressing down on everybody. Heavy weight that people can't get rid of. And they're trying to get rid of it. They're under stress, under this pressure, under this constant pressure. I feel it at times, don't you? A heavy weight. Sometimes you don't know where it's coming from. You just weigh down. Anybody? Everybody. Every one of God's people. But the world doesn't know what it is, and they try to seek to get rid of it many ways. There's pressure, and it can't get rid of it. What is it? What is it that weighs us down? What is it that just has us under this heavy sense of doom? Sin. And guilt. And God says there's no peace to the wicked. What are we going to do? Run to the cave. Run to the cleft of the rock. Peter said, "Cast all your care upon him. He careth for you." The weight of your sins. The weight of your guilt. All of it now. Past. Brethren, you don't know what you're going to do tomorrow. You don't know what you're going to do tomorrow. You don't know. You and I are capable of anything. Say, "I've done some bad things, and bless God, He's shown mercy and grace upon me, and I believe He's cleansed me from that." And that's what David thought when he was about 45. 50, David said that. "That won't happen to me." You just don't know. Somehow. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? How you going? Then you get under this heavy oppression, and "Well, I'll take this, I'll take that, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll find this, that, I'll find that." That's only one remedy. One.
Christ
being crucified. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are what? Heavy laden. I got an enemy that's after me, and he will not leave me alone. And you know where he is? Right here. Christ said, I know it. I know it. Come unto me. People, you got to come every day. It's not a one-time thing. Everyone in distress. You see, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. The debts we owe. Look at verse 1. It says, at verse 2, everyone that was in debt. Oh, my. The debt we owe. God's law. God says, this do, this do, this do, this do, this. Doesn't he say, don't do this, don't do that. Would you name me something that we've done? Name me something that God said do that you've done it with a pure motive. Name one thing, a pure thought. Right now, since you've been here today, have you worshiped God completely from the heart? Have you? Are you listening to this message from God's Word with a childlike heart? Oh, our sin. Oh, my sin. God's sending this glorious message of His glory and our deliverance. And yet, what are we doing? We're thinking about everything under the sun. What's wrong with us? God said, this do, this do. God's justice said, okay, you must pay then. You're guilty, you're guilty. God's justice said, the soul that sinneth must surely die. God's goodness, oh, the goodness of God. Oh, the mercy of God. Oh, the grace of God. What a debt of gratitude we owe. And some people get their feelings hurt when they perceive they have a perceived slight by someone. They didn't speak to them or whatever. They feel indignant and they get offended because someone doesn't speak to them. What about God? Huh? Go days and weeks.
But God, who's rich in mercy, slew His Son to cover that, our ingratitude. He never lived a day, John. He never lived an hour without thinking about God. He never was selfish. He always thought of others. He did it all. Why? For the glory of God. And He did it for me.
Jesus paid it all. All the debt I owe to the glory of God, gratitude to God, the service to God, service to others. He paid it all. Sin left a crimson stain. You know what? He washed it white as snow. Debt. Believer, brethren, let me tell you something. I got good news for you. God is satisfied. To my smile now, God is satisfied. You don't owe one dime to God. His justice. You're not in arrears to God.
It's paid in full.
If you understand that. Discontent, and those that were discontent. The whole world is discontent. Everyone's looking for happiness. Everyone's looking for fulfillment. Everyone's looking for happiness in this, in that, and the other. Vanity. That's what the preacher said, and every true preacher says, and keeps reminding people, vanity of vanities, and nothing in this world that will satisfy. No one and no thing will satisfy you in this world. It's vanity. It's perishing. Things of clay. You can't find happiness in something that dies. Can't do it. But there is a place to find happiness in a person. Blessed is the man who knows Him. Blessed is the man, David said, whom the Lord will not impute iniquity. Blessed is the man whose strength is in the Lord. Blessed is the man who walks in the law of the Lord.
His meditation is on him. Blessed is the man who knows the Lord. Blessed, 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 happy. People are looking for contentment. People are looking for happiness. You know, this is, I think, the first thing the Lord does to someone when he begins to deal with them is makes them discontent. Discontent in the world, not finding what they need, and brings them to, if they want his, he'll bring them where the gospel is. To where they'll finally find all their contentment, all their happiness, all their fullness. See, God has put in him all the fullness. All fullness. See, you're never happy, you're never content unless you're full, are you? You're hungry. We've got two granddaughters. They're never full. They're never content. You get enough? No, I have to take an ice cream sandwich. Hungry. Thirsty. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst when God puts this discontent, this hunger and thirst after righteousness, after to know God, to know salvation, to know the truth. It says they'll be filled. They'll be full. Christ said, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood will never hunger again. He that hath this water of life, Christ, in him will never thirst again. Does that mean you don't desire Christ anymore? No, that means you don't really need and hunger and thirst anything else. You hear that? That means you find all your fulfillment in him and you don't look for it elsewhere. And you're not disappointed. You see it for what it is. And you see him for what he is. All the fullness of God. All the blessings of God. One thing needful and one thing fulfilling and one thing that will solve your discontent and make you happy. It's a person married to him. Marriage won't do it. Houses won't do it. Money won't do it. Drugs won't do it. Jesus Christ. That came to him. I believe the Lord makes someone discontent. You've heard the story of my father-in-law that he was in religion. And he went to his preacher one day. He went to his preacher, so-called. And he said to that man, after hearing him preach for years, he finally said to that man, he said, I don't know what I'm not hearing. But I'm not hearing something. That's what he said. And he said, and this is what he said, didn't he? He said, I got to hear some hell's fire and damnation or something. And bless God, God led him to where a man was sent of God. No less than David. No less than David. A man sent of God to preach the truth of Christ. And he sat down and lo and behold, contentment. I see it, he said. I see it. See what, Eddie? Him. And he didn't go anywhere. Did he? To the day he died. Right there, sin. Content. Captain. Sure a motley crew old David has, isn't it? Well, that's the name of this thing. The captain and his sorry crew. What a motley crew, you know. What does David need with these fellows? David's got his own problem. What does he need with them? Nothing. But they need him. They need him. And he became their captain. I'll do it. Every single person that came to him. What's he need with people full of debt? What's he need with discontented people? What's he need with people that are bitter and all of that? He doesn't need anything. They need him. And bless God, he became their captain. I'll do it. I know what he did. I know the first thing he did. I know the first thing he did. They're in distress. I know what he said. I know what he said. David stood up and said, you all that are fearful, you all that are worried, all of you that are afraid, all of you that are afraid of the enemy that have come to me. God sent you to me. Peace. Rest. Fear not. I'm your captain. God has sent me from this day forward. We're going to reign. God said so. Next thing he said, I don't care what you owe.
I don't care how much you owe. The one deepest in debt, David said, nobody owes a thing right now. Did you hear that? Nobody owes a dime right now. Everybody here. It's all free now.
From here on out, you're not going to pay one dime. I'm going to pay it all. I'm going to provide it all. You just follow that. And the last thing he said, are you bitter? Are you discontent? Huh? You're unhappy. You have come to the right person to play. It's God has sent me. And there's happiness. There's blessedness. The end of this journey is all good. We're all going to be seated on the throne together. You just wait. You see, we've got to go through some tough times. We've got to go through some struggles and some wars and deprivations and some trials and some heaviness. But you've come to me, Christ says, and I'm your captain. And you need not worry about a thing. Ever. 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 Did you hear that? Did you hear that? I hope I heard. To whom coming? All right. Let's sing in closing. Jesus paid it all. 125. 125. Stand as you say.
Crimson sand.